Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. Kind of a chilly day here, and I guess we've got a chilly weekend coming up here in northeastern Ohio, but at least it's not raining, and it's not snowing, at least not yet. I guess we might be able to get a little bit of that tonight, but that's a way to start April, I guess. But at any rate, today is April the 1st, and since we're on the radio here on April the 1st, known as April Fool's Day, we're going to be talking about atheism today a little bit, and there's a reason for that, and the reason is because the Bible says in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, and we're going to explore that a little bit here, why the Bible would say the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on the air today. We do pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory. Bless this day, Lord. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. We also pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to make a good case for understanding that it makes sense to believe the Bible. It makes sense to believe that you exist, and it doesn't make sense to reject these things. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. We thank you. Amen. All right. Well, good to be with you again, as I said, and you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Before we get into the topic here, I want to mention again that you can always check out our website, and on our website, of course, at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find a number of things there, even some things that might touch on this this topic here and why we can believe that God exists. But that's livewithpastoral.com. You can also link from there or go directly to our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al as well, and try to get a number of articles and things on there. And one of the things I have on our Facebook page right now is a meme that's there for today being National Atheist Day. And I was at a church one time, this is years ago in the early 90s, and the pastor had one of these signs out in front of the church where you could put different messages out there, little quotes and Bible verses and things like that. And one year around April 1st, he put up a thing on there that said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the reference there of Psalm 14:1, and above it he had written, Happy Atheist Day. And so we've always kind of joked about that ever since then, that April 1st ought to be recognized as National Atheist Day. So with that in mind, I want to look at a couple of things here, because this passage here in Psalm 14, and also its companion passage in Psalm 53, talking about the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. As you continue reading it, it says this, they are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh that, or looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And as this psalm goes on, you can see that it's more than an indictment of atheists, though it certainly does illustrate the fact that you have to be foolish to deny that God exists. But it also denounces people who act like God doesn't exist. And I think that's something that we can lose track of here, because Paul repeats these same things in Romans chapter 3, and verse number 10, where he says, as it is written, and he's referring to this here in Psalm 14, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And see, this is the natural state of man, and this is why atheism appeals to people sometimes, I think, despite all the evidence, despite the logical conundrums that atheism presents. People are drawn to it oftentimes, and it's on the rise today, unfortunately, in the United States, and in Canada, and in the Western world in general. And it's on the rise because I believe that people want to convince themselves that there is no God so that they don't have to be answerable to God, so they don't have to admit that their works that they're corrupt and that they've done abominable works and that they're not good. They don't want to admit, as the Bible said, that they've gone aside and become filthy and that they don't do good, as the Bible says. And it gives them an excuse to not seek after God, and without admitting that they've become unprofitable. And it's like I've mentioned before, my one professor when I was at Colorado State University in a senior level forest biology class in my senior year, the professor at the end of the class, and of course he had taught evolution, and not only evolution of organisms, but evolution of ecological systems, but he said at the end of the class, he said, "I choose to believe in evolution because the only other alternative is special creation, and I don't want to believe that." What he was saying there is he did not like the ramifications of there being a creator. He did not want to admit or believe something that would imply that there's a God that exists, and because if there's a God that exists, he might realize that he's not righteous. He might realize that he doesn't really understand who God is. He might realize that he doesn't measure up to God, that he's become unprofitable, and he doesn't want anything that might make him think that. And that's what happens with a lot of people who embrace atheism. They desperately do not want God to exist. Now, it's foolish to believe that God doesn't exist, and that's what atheism is. It's a belief system. It's every bit a belief system as to say, I believe that God exists, to say that I believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, to say that I believe the Bible is God's word given to man, to say that I believe that you must be born again, to say I believe that there's a heaven and a hell, to say I believe there is no God, to say I believe that Jesus Christ is not God in the flesh, to say that I believe that God, that the Bible is not God's word given to man, to say that I don't believe that you must be born again, and to say that I don't believe there's a heaven or a hell. How do you know those things? That's a faith-based system, just as much as it's a faith-based system to say that you do believe those things. Now, I believe that when we're looking at comparing faith-based systems, whether it's Bible-believing Christianity or, Islam or Mormonism or the Jehovah's Witness heresy or Buddhism or Jainism or Hinduism or whatever it is, Shintoism, any of these things, when we compare belief systems, we ought to look and see which one fits the world around us, which one makes more sense. And I would say the same thing when it comes to atheism, because atheism is a belief system. And so if it is the case, if it was superior to theism, or specifically to Bible Christianity, then we should be able to make a case from it, from the world around us, but really the contrary is true. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19 starts out in verse number 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Now, notice that again. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now, we talk about the glory of God there being declared by the heavens, but firmament showing his handiwork. You know, my grandmother used to like to knit, and she always knitted things for all of her grandchildren. And so I had sweaters, and I had socks, and I had mittens, and I had hats, and different things that were knitted by my grandmother. And when you looked at those things, you knew that somebody made them. They had a construction to them that wasn't normal. Now, I've raised sheep in the past. Now, I've not sheared sheep, but I've watched my dad do it. And when a sheep is running around in the pasture, the wool does not fall off from the sheep and naturally ball up and turn red or green or blue or yellow. And it doesn't naturally ball up and then wind itself up into threads, which become yarn. And then that yarn doesn't just naturally, as the wind blows it across the pasture, turn into a sweater. It takes some work to do that. My dad would shear the sheep and take the wool off from the sheep. Now, then the wool would go and it would be processed, and it would be cleaned and it would be separated and all that, and then it would be spun into the thread and the yarn and things of that nature. And then my grandmother would buy the yarn, and she would take that yarn and she would sit with her knitting needles, and she would, over time, produce a pair of socks, a pair of mittens, a hat, a scarf, a sweater. And when you looked at it, even though it may have been wool, just like the wool that came off the back of a sheep, it didn't just fall off the sheep and roll around and blow around and turn into a sweater or a hat or something. It shows handiwork. In fact, people call that sort of thing handiwork, things that you do with your hands to produce something. And that's a perfect example here. When we look at the world around us, it shows God's handiwork. And just like when people would look at my grandmother's knitting, her handiwork, and they would say, "Wow, you did a really good job on this hat. This sweater is really nice. I like how you made the design and how you worked the colors into that." And they would talk about how great her knitting was in that sense. Well, when we look at God's handiwork and we look at the heavens around us, we declare the glory of God, and we say it's phenomenal. It's impressive. It's awe-inspiring. When we look at these things, it's hard to say there is no God. You have to make a faith-based choice to say there is no God. And that's like my professor back in college. He said the only other alternative to evolution was special creation. He didn't say that he'd weighed the evidence and chosen not to believe it. He didn't say that he has experimented to prove it wrong. He just said, "I choose not to believe it," because he didn't want to believe it. And so he made a choice where he was going to put his faith. And so when we look at these things, I think as we read the Bible and we get an understanding, it's easy to see that you would have to be a fool to declare that God does not exist. And, you know, we can look at a number of things, and I can give you a couple of arguments real quick. We just talked about one of them. The very creation declares that God exists. And when we see the world around us, it cries out for a creator. That's a good reason to believe that God exists. Just like when I looked at my grandmother's sweaters or hats or something that she knitted, it would cry out that somebody made it. And the world around us cries out that somebody has made it. After all, how else did it come to be? Well, people say, well, it appeared from nothing. Well, the Bible says that there is some evidence of that. And let me take a look over here in Hebrews chapter 11 real quick here. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And that tells us the things that we see in the world around us, it came from things which were not appearing here. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And that's another evidence right there. We can see the declaration of God, and that's in the heart of man. In Romans chapter 1, we have the declaration here in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 20. I'll start reading. The Bible says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And there's a part of man that knows that there's a God, but some people choose to reject that. And like my professor in college, they choose to worship the creation more than the Creator. In fact, it goes on to say that there in Romans chapter 1, verse number 25, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So there's that. We see the nation of Israel. I don't have time to get into that. A nation that has had every attempt made to destroy it, and yet it's still there. And Psalm 83 talks about the very nations gathered around Israel today, and the very groups that are gathered around Israel today, that has said in Psalm 83 that they were going to destroy Israel, that its name would not be remembered anymore. And even Hamas says that pretty much word for word in their charter. And so we also have the other idea that when we look at the genetic code that we have in us, in fact, in our website at livewithpastoral.com, I have an article, or I shouldn't say an article, but an audio clip there that I had done on epigenes, and you can find it there. I did it back in February 26th. I listed it at least on my website on the February 26th entry, but you can find it there, epigenes in the search for intelligent life. And when you look at this, not only is the DNA, which the Bible talks about in Psalms as us being fearfully and wonderfully made, is such a complex language. And then they found now overlaying the language of the DNA, which has four letters, we have the epigene language that at first they thought might only have one layer, and now they found our letter. Now they found out that it probably has 100 or more letters. It's a very complex language. You know, our language, we read it from one end of the sentence to the other, from one end of the word to the other, and we just keep going in one direction, left to right or right to left, depending on whether you're reading something like English or Hebrew, and or up and down from the top to the bottom, like in Chinese or something. But we go in one direction. DNA language goes in more than one direction. It goes forward, it goes backwards, it skips around, it goes diagonally, and in all sorts of fashions. And then when you lay the epigene language on top of it, that tells you what portions to read and not read, and when to read it and when not to read it, and how to read it, and what to do with it when you do read it, it becomes even more complex. It's more complex. The DNA language itself is more complex than any computer language that we've ever put together. And then when you layer on top of that the epigene language, we're still just discovering and scratching the surface of that one. And it's incredible. And so when we see these things, it's very evident that there has to be a creator. I was talking with a guy one time. Excuse me. I was talking with a guy one time who told me that he was an atheist and that he knew that God didn't exist. And I said, "Well, how do you know that? How do you know that God doesn't exist? Do you know everything about everything? And he admitted that he didn't. And I thought about that. There's people who know things that I don't know, and there's things that I know that some people don't know. And not everybody knows everything. And it may be that as an atheist, you just haven't seen the evidence yet that would convince you that God exists. So how can you say that he doesn't exist? You don't know that for sure. It's a religious belief. Now, here's the thing. The same gentleman also told me that he was embarked upon a project to spending a lot of money and effort to prove that you could develop an artificial life without any effort, without any intelligence being added into it. It would just occur on its own. And he was making a lot of effort in this project to cause that to happen without his effort. Didn't make sense. And he said, well, how do you believe the world came into being? And I said, well, I believe that in the beginning, only God existed and God spoke. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And then through the whole creation week, he spoke the worlds into existence out of nothing. And he smiled smugly and laughed. And he said, that was kind of foolish. And I said, well, how do you believe the world came into existence? And he said, well, at one time, there was nothing except the singularity, which was all the energy and mass of the unit that the universe has, all point crammed into a point of nothingness. And this nothingness, for some reason, suddenly exploded, and it produced everything that existed. And I smiled and chuckled, and he looked at me, and then he realized what he just said. And he kind of laughed too. At least he had the ability to realize that he was critiquing me for believing that someone with infinite power created the universe out of nothing. And he said that was foolish, and it was more sensible to believe that something or that nothing with infinite potential created the world and everything, or the universe and everything that's in it. And in both cases, you couldn't explain where it came from. Well, I can explain where God is, or about God. The Bible says he's always existed, and the universe is a creation of God. A lot of people try to say that the universe created God, or that somebody in the universe created God, that God's a function of the universe. It's not. The universe was created by God for his enjoyment, and it is a function of God. The universe does not contain God. God contains the universe. And so it's foolish to reject the idea that God exists. I think it's a little more intellectually honest to say, well, I'm not sure, and I don't know who he is, than to just categorically say, I believe that God does not exist. Even though they say God doesn't exist, they're really saying, I believe that God doesn't exist. Well, I got just a couple moments here, and let's get Jeremiah on here real quick, I think. Jeremiah, you there? I think we got Jeremiah's phone.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jeremiah, I got your radio in the background. Just got a moment, though. Have to go quick.
Yeah.
Not catching what he's saying there. He's kind of choppy there. So we'll have to call back the next time, I think, there, Jeremiah, as it's just a little too choppy there. And talking about this with the idea that, you know, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And as I said before at the start, we apply that to atheists, but when you read the entire chapter there that passage in Psalms, Psalm 19 in verse 1, read the entire psalm, you realize that he's not talking about just atheists there. He's not talking about just people who don't believe God exists. He's also talking about people who live their lives as if God doesn't exist. At least the fool gives a reason for it. And oftentimes there's people who profess to believe that God exists, but in their actions they act as if he doesn't exist. We need to trust Christ as our Savior. We need to put our faith in him so that our sins can be forgiven. And then we need to live like we believe God exists. Turn yourself over to Christ. Live for him. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.